we need. To see what part one of the interview, you can go to democracynow.org. On Monday and Tuesday, two July 4th specials will bring you a major address by Senator Bernie Sanders at the People's Summit in Chicago before about 4,000 people. That's Monday's show, July 3rd. And on Tuesday, James Earl Jones reads Frederick Douglass's historic speech, What to the Slave is the 4th of July. And we talk to the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe about the standoff at Standing Rock and where it stands today. Happy birthday to Isis Phillips. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford College. Now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR.fm, the station making waves. We talk on the show about Dearborn and the surrounding area, local news and views that you can't hear anywhere else on your radio dial. We are based on the newspapers, of course, and I'm going to look at the press, Dearborn Press and Guide and Dearborn Times Herald print editions, as well as news from the new edition of the Arab American News, based in Dearborn, of course, and also a few other sources here. I usually check the Metro Times, MichiganRadio.org, and I do suggest that during the week you folks check all of these sites yourself. If you don't have internet access or don't have a smartphone, you should find a way to go to the public library. I'm sorry, that's the only other choice, I guess, every day, and spend an hour or two on their internet connected systems. Otherwise, you're going to not know what's happening locally. And as I've said many times before, what matters to you most, or should matter to you most, is what is right next door, that is in your nearby community, especially because you can do something about it. Yes, you actually have the power to make a difference locally. Sometimes just a single phone call, maybe two or three, or going to someone's office in the Dearborn Administrative Center, perhaps. But you can actually get responses if it's local. At least in terms of Dearborn, we have a good responsive government in place and government workers in place that can usually help whatever the issue. But if you don't know the issues or what's coming, okay. So we're going to go back to ancient history, and then we'll come up to date. And we also, I do recognize it's the 4th of July weekend, and some of you may be listening to this on July 5th from the podcast of the show. There's always a podcast of the show available for listening anytime after broadcast. So anytime after 2 p.m. on a Friday, the show will instantly be turned around and available from our website, whfr.fm. You click on the talk show button, and then there's only two choices. We are the WHFR Journal, the show to which you're listening. And then you pick the date, because almost all the shows for 7 years, oh my gosh, of the Journal are still there. And so listen to the most recent one, of course. It makes sense, I guess. Just a couple stories. One that slipped through the cracks, and I'll do it quickly. It was in last Sunday's Press and Guide, that is Sunday, June 25th. Dearborn Heights and Taylor are together studying a Van Bourne corridor improvement. City officials in Dearborn Heights and Taylor are taking the first steps towards improving the Van Bourne corridor, which runs through large sections of both communities' commercial districts. Representatives of both cities recently met with Wade Trim, the city's civil engineering firm, to begin a study aimed at updating and improving a significant portion of the corridor. While improvements will focus on Van Bourne from Inkster to the Southfield Freeway, a stretch of the road between Pelham and Monroe Streets would receive added attention, stemming in part from the upcoming expansion relocation of Ford Motor Company technical employees to Masco's former Van Bourne Road headquarters. That's along with the planned repurposing of a former Kmart store nearby. I remember that Kmart store from years ago. Used to go there when I lived in Taylor before my days in Dearborn from 1979. So anyway, so at Dearborn Heights' January 10th Tale of Our Cities event, Mayor Daniel Politko talked about Masco leaving and that he and Taylor Mayor Rick Sollers had discussed a joint program to develop the Van Bourne Corridor, particularly the Masco facility and Kmart facility. So it's always good to see collaboration. They're not merging anything, but collaboration on getting more business in, which would help, of course, the bottom line for taxes in each area. Because new businesses pay business taxes, but also new more jobs, too. So very proactive. I commend them on initiating that. And just turning the pages, that's all I wanted to bring up. Other than, and this has been reported even recently, several times more in some of the stories, but at a Board of Trustees meeting recently, the school, Henry Ford College Board of Trustees, which are the same people as the Dearborn Board of Education. They just have two different responsibilities, so they're called different things, either Board of Education or Board of Trustees, in the case of Henry Ford College. And they reaffirmed the school's commitment to being a welcoming college. And that doesn't mean we're a sanctuary college at all, but there are ways that we're trying to help all people by providing equal opportunity access to educational offerings, activities, and jobs, and providing a safe environment and protect the civil rights of everyone at the school by taking quick action against discrimination, harassment, and violence based on age, race, religion, natural origin, immigration status, gender, transgender, gender expression, gender questioning, weight, disability, perceived disability, veteran status, and any other legally protected personal characteristics. Also, Henry Ford College continuing to be an educational voice for acceptance, understanding, compassion, and inclusiveness for racial and ethnic minorities and LGBTQ community members. In addition, we're in accordance, just in case you wanted to know, with the Family Educational Records Privacy Act, FERPA. Does that spell out something? No, I don't think so. FERPA. Okay. That means we continue not to disclose the private educational records of our students without the student's and or his, her, or guardian's consent, as required by law. So a lot of these things are, as you can see, required by law. There's seven or eight more principles that we've always had here at Henry Ford College. But anyway, we reaffirmed that commitment and have always followed through on those things, too, to the best of our abilities. Looking at the Times Herald from last Wednesday, they have a breakdown of what I didn't get into the show last week, and certainly we're going to spend time on this. Consul candidates address issues at League of Women Voters Forum. So that's there in the Times Herald. As I said, we'll get to that story and some of my comments since I was there in person, like a reporter. Ooh, and I was taking notes even. Imagine. If I can read my notes, that'll be the next question. But and then from this last Wednesday's Press and Guide from June 28th. Today is, of course, the 30th, the last day in June 2017. Their headline story is a sort of a fact-finding discussion about labor and wages. Representative Debbie Dingell, Jimmy Hoffa, representing the Teamsters, and UAW President Dennis Williams all sat down with residents to talk about how manufacturing jobs, what the future is going to be of manufacturing jobs in this country. I guess that was a short discussion. No, that's a bad joke. Obviously, automation, and of course, outsourcing, sending things, if you call it that, sending jobs overseas is another issue. Ford Motor Company recently announced that the Ford Fiesta, sometime in the near future, would be built entirely in China. Because they were going to build a Ford Fiesta factory in China anyway, and yeah, they initially thought they'd build a Ford Fiesta plant in Mexico, because with cheaper labor in both countries, obviously wouldn't they start to make a profit on a low volume? And it's not so much a low volume. It's true there are not as many people buying small cars right now. At least not the Ford. Did I say Fiesta? It's the Focus. The Ford Focus is the model we're talking about here. So they wouldn't be making any more Ford Focus in this country. Interestingly, the sports model, which is the ST and the RS, the ST, I think, cost somewhere in the vicinity of $22,000 to $24,000 retail for the base model. And the RS is super duper big engine, yeah, for a Ford Focus, but it's a real big engine. I think it's four-wheel drive, maybe not. And it's about $38,000, I think. Those are going to be built in Germany and then shipped around the world. And of course, I'm, as a car guy, I think Germany builds real good sports vehicles. So they have people there that know how to put them together and have, you know, BMWs and Mercedes-Benz and so on. But I'm just saying German manufacturing quality is pretty much a given. I'm not putting down Chinese factory quality because, you know, I mean, you got an iPhone in my pocket, I've got a Macintosh computer next to me, and most of their products are assembled in China. So, those are okay. But anyway, it's good to get those discussions out there and get people aware of what's going on. Someone suggested in the state legislature of Michigan that we should tax robots. So if somebody puts a robot in their workplace, they should have to pay an extra tax because they're not employing a person. And then the state might, if they ever allocate appropriately, might give that money to people that are out of work or get them retrained or something with that money from the robot taxes. But in fact, it's probably better to get those people retrained right away in robot-related areas, you know, taking care of the robots, you know. At this point, robots cannot take care of themselves. So for a while, maybe at least 10 years, there'll be some jobs there. Looking also at the pressing guide from this last, Dearborn pressing guide from this last week. Of course, very important for the weekend. Residents are reminded of laws related to the use of fireworks. Dearborn residents are reminded to follow state and local laws regarding the purchase and use of fireworks, as well as to exercise extreme caution. Consumer fireworks only allowed on certain days, by the way. So if you're not aware of this, I think it's the same policies they had last week. The policy is the use of consumer fireworks is restricted to the day before, day of, and or day after national holidays, such as the 4th of July. So that means, yeah, if you had to, you could do some consumer personal fireworks on July 3rd, that's Monday, and even the 5th, which is next Wednesday. Okay. Dearborn's fireworks ordinances also restricts the times that these fireworks may be used on permitted holidays. No use is allowed between midnight and 8 a.m. There's an exception for New Year's Day. There's always an exception when the time of use is extended to 1 a.m. since people want to go bang and boom right at midnight, especially. But Dearborn residents, if there is an unsafe or illegal activity, there is a hotline you can call to anonymously report unsafe or illegal activity in your neighborhood. And you can also use 911 if there's a dangerous or emergency situation. So here's the hotline number to report what you might believe to be unsafe or illegal activity. 313-943-3030. So again, that number for anonymously reporting unsafe or illegal activity in your neighborhood is 313-943-3030. 943-3030. Now, I think that's also the number that you can anonymously report somebody's breaking into a car or breaking into a house or whatever. That is a hotline for any sort of anonymous reports to report unsafe or illegal activity in your neighborhood. Just so you know, I mean, you might write that down at home or something and remember that if there is a question. But if it's really dangerous in an emergency situation, go ahead and dial 911. Other restrictions apply to consumer fireworks use. Violation of the rules is considered a civil infraction punishable by fines up to $500. And here we go. There are provisions in the state and local law. Here we come. No one's allowed to use fireworks on public properties, including schools, churches, government buildings, city streets, and parks. Number two, no one is allowed to ignite or discharge fireworks in any way that would cause them to land on someone else's private property without the express consent of the property owners. The responsible party will also be required to pay for any damages caused by the fireworks. Three, you cannot discharge fireworks while under the influence of alcohol or a controlled substance. Four, it is illegal for anyone under the age of 18 to purchase or discharge consumer fireworks. Some regulations also apply to the use of low-impact fireworks. And I can't go into all that, but it's on the cityofdearborn.org website if you want to get into that. I thought there was an interesting story that also follows up on this. And the TimesHerald.com, that's the Downriver paper, and they have this story that was posted yesterday. And it's about 13 ways to be safe around fireworks. So forget about the laws if you want to, but if you don't, I mean, you better not forget completely because somebody will turn you in and then you're really in trouble when the cops show up. But safety experts in this article say safety experts rather that you didn't use fireworks at all. Okay? And they say the safest way to enjoy fireworks is professional displays. If you do plan to shoot your own fireworks off, remember that these are explosives and that if used incorrectly can cause irreparable injury and harm. Irreparable, that means not repairable. Okay? You just use your imagination there in that pregnant pause. Certified fireworks retailers aim to make the supply, their aim to make safety their top priority. I wonder if they give out a little list of suggestions with the fireworks they're selling you. I don't know. 2 years ago, there were 11 deaths and more than 11,000 emergency room visits related to fireworks, making it the worst year for fireworks injuries in at least the last 15 years, according to U.S. Product Safety Commission. That's across the whole U.S., but that's still deaths and a lot of serious emergency room-related injuries. Of the deaths, 9 of the 11 involved people misusing reloadable fireworks by trying to hold them when they fired. Oh my gosh. You're holding the fireworks thing when it fires? One person died in a house fire caused by homemade fireworks. Of those suffering the highest rate of injuries were teenagers between the ages of 15 and 19, followed by children aged 5 to 9. So these are kids handling these fireworks. So don't let that happen, folks. They don't know the rules. They don't know how to be careful. Maybe they've never set off a firework before, so they don't know how dangerous it could be. Consumer fireworks are legal, but they must meet CPSC standards, and only those, again, 18 or older should buy them. Okay. So here we go with a fast list. Always purchase fireworks from a state-certified fireworks retailer, not from somebody along the side of the road or a neighbor or somebody. And you got to follow the manufacturer's instructions. Make sure you get some manufacturer's instructions. Assign an adult to oversee any fireworks activities, including sparklers, handed out to children. Point number three, ignite fireworks one at a time and leave the synchronized displays to the professionals. When you're done lighting it, immediately back away to a safe distance. Make sure everyone watching is doing so from a safe distance before lighting any fireworks. And a safe distance for outdoor fireworks is at least 25 feet away from any house, building, or flammable materials, including dry grass or mulch. Always light them off of a paved surface. I'm not sure that should be asphalt. I think that might melt. I'd say maybe concrete would be better. For safety's sake, keep a bucket of water or garden hose within reach in case of fire or other mishap. Always douse spent fireworks in a bucket of water before discarding them. So, again, never, if you want to go for the negative here, never allow younger children to play with them. Never place your hand or any part of your body over a fireworks device when igniting the fuse. Never attempt to relight or pick up a dud that is not lighted fully. Leave it alone for 15 to 20 minutes and then soak it in a bucket of water. You know, don't grab it and try to relight it or something. It might be getting ready to blow up in your face. Yeah. Direct or throw fireworks. Never direct or throw fireworks at other people. Never place fireworks in a pocket or shoot them off in metal or glass containers. Never purchase fireworks that are packaged in plain brown paper or use unlabeled fireworks. Because there are some that are apparently supplied that way for professional use only. But you can't trust what they are or where they came from or what the instructions are. Never experiment or attempt to make a homemade firecracker or fireworks of any kind. Just some tips there. By the way, sparklers, after you light them, they reach a temperature of 1,200 degrees. They are dangerous. 1,200 degrees will burn skin like crazy. They will set fire to almost any substance, can ignite your clothing, cause grass fires, and so on. 1,200 degrees. You know what the boiling temperature of water is, right? Do you know how hot water is? 212 degrees Fahrenheit, or 100 degrees centigrade, if you're listening in Canada. And I know you are. So, careful. Careful. Dearborn does not have a fireworks display immediately in its, run by the city over 4th of July. We have big fireworks displays homecoming weekend, Saturday and Sunday nights. I think it's the 5th and 6th of August. They tell me it's the biggest display this side of the Detroit River. You can wait for that, right? But there are some other cities that do it, and I don't have a list of other cities that have professional fireworks displays. So, what the heck? So there's your safety tip for today. Who says we're not trying to save your life out there? We need all the listeners we can get here at WHFR. And we want you to have a healthy, happy, safe holiday season, certainly. Okay, now we're down to the real nitty-gritty. Okay, last week, serious stuff here, folks. Well, saving your life is serious, too. But in terms of education news here in Dearborn, Trustee Hussein Berry, this is from a meeting this last Monday of the Board of Ed. This is not everything I told you about the situation with their appointment of a person to a vacant seat on the board. But it is a continuing saga. It seems that Trustee Hussein Berry is now suing in court, in a civil court, the district over a colleague's appointment. And here's the story from the Arab American News. Might be in the Press and Guide this Sunday, of course, but it was on their website today at arabamericannews.com. He's suing the board and its president, and by the way, Henry Ford College, too, which doesn't make any sense to me, over the appointment of the newest trustee. He announced the lawsuit during the June 26th board meeting after the new trustee, Celia Nasser, was sworn in by 19th District Court Chief Judge Sam Salami. The lawsuit comes on the heels of continuous complaints and allegations brought forth by Berry during board meetings, past board meetings, and on social media. These allegations range from possible violations of the Open Meetings Act to procedures and rules not being followed by Board President Mary Lane, to arguing whether or not Berry's non-participation in the process constitutes an abstention, quote-unquote, within the meaning of Michigan law and school board bylaws. According to court records, the lawsuit filed on June 26 was assigned to Wayne County Circuit Court Judge Daniel Hathaway, who denied Berry's motion for injunctive relief the same day. That means make a change, correct this right away, and go back to what it was until we get this resolved in court. Circuit Court Judge Hathaway said he wouldn't do that because the motion asked the court to immediately unseat Nasser and to count Berry's so-called vote, or really non-vote, which, depending on definition, was an abstention, even if you say, as he did, he didn't want to be part of the proceedings. That is interpreted by Robert's Rules of Order, I understand, and Michigan law, Michigan state law, state of law in Michigan, as an abstention. And an abstention, in fact, is a vote in favor of whatever the motion was. although he claims he did not participate or vote on Nasser's appointment. Okay, that's his view. In addition to denying Barry's motion, though, the court set September 26 as a date for a pretrial motion. As part of the injunctive relief, Barry is asking the court to order Dearborn Schools and Henry Ford College to pay him attorney fees and monetary damages in excess of $25,000 on each of four counts. That makes $100,000 total, centering around his allegations that the board denied him the opportunity to vote. So that was the injunction, which also was denied, though. Nasser was sworn in with her new colleagues by Judge Salami. And Salami spoke about the importance of the role board members play in the appointment process, although he didn't take sides, by the way. The board then began in addressing the meeting's agenda after the swearing-in. By the way, the swearing-in was the second time that Nasser was sworn in, and it was just a formality because she was sworn in at the previous meeting, which was, you know, mostly Henry Ford College issues. So they were actually a board of trustees when they swore her in then, even though it's the same group, same people, but a different, you might say, legal situation. So it was just a formality, and but they did it again. And the board began addressing the meeting's agenda, but Barry interrupted the proceedings to announce the lawsuit and to reiterate his complaints about the process. And denying everything and that was going on, that was legal, and so on. The board also heard comments from audience members about this. Again, several times during the meeting, Barry did go on and spoke at length about his grievances with some of his colleagues and the process, so he kept interrupting all the way through to do that. Some of the people in the audience, like Roxanne McDonald, who was a contender for the appointment that Nasser had won, expressed her disappointment with the process. Then she called the process a travesty that tarnished the district's reputation. And on that point, though, another editorial opinion. And again, you won't find editorial opinions of any other newspaper in Dearborn anymore. Hasn't happened for quite a while that they have their own local editor writing an opinion about a local issue. But they do it pretty much every week. And this is the opinion of Arab American News, perhaps their editor-publisher, Osama Sablani. Hussein Barry is to blame for the tension on the school board and in the community. These past few weeks have been filled with political rant, social media gossips, and legal threats. It has become hard to find the truth amid the sea of accusations. This is the new age of politics. It is the Trump era. Truth has no place in his White House, and it seems that it has no place in Dearborn either. At the Dearborn Board of Education meeting, Trustee Hussein Barry, in a last-ditch effort to stop a highly qualified Arab American woman from keeping her newly appointed seat on the board, announced that he'd filed a lawsuit against the school district, Henry Ford College, and the board. He blames everyone for the chaos that has ensued. Everyone, that is, according to the Arab American News, again, except the actual perpetrator himself. So they say here, let's take a quick look at the facts. In a poorly thought-out political move, Barry decided it was in his best interest not to vote during the process of filling the vacant board seat. He has stated on multiple occasions that the process was tainted, but has yet to state anything concrete to substantiate his accusation. This is a classic Trump move, they say. Throw out accusations, but never back them up with evidence or proof. Barry still has yet to state publicly whom he would have voted for if he had the chance to do it again. Would it be Adel Mozip, who failed to gain any support from the board despite his vocal community supporters? Would it be his friend Roxanne McDonald, who helped him obtain his seat on the board by not running for re-election? Or would he just simply vote no to anyone who was presented? No one will ever know the real answer, they say. Arab American News editorial continues. Did Barry abstain or did he not abstain? Another classic Trump move to distract from what is really going on. In an effort to cover up his poor decision-making, Barry attempted to rewrite history by voting no on a motion to accept the recorded minutes of the last Board of Education meeting. He claimed that he didn't abstain, but rather didn't participate. Maybe he thinks that people are stupid and don't know that the definition of abstaining is to not participate. The fact that we don't have to rely on a written account of the meeting. The fact is, we, that is, not just the Arab American News, but the general public, don't have to rely on a written account of the meeting because several people videotaped the meeting, including the official district videographer. Barry may have attempted to twist words and confuse people, but the fact remains that he was asked if he was abstaining, and his answer was yes. They have that on videotape. Then there is the lawsuit. The Arab American News editorial goes on. When all else fails, Trump proudly boasts about legal action. Barry threatened legal action for alleged illegal activities by the board, yet he didn't file a complaint with the state's attorney general. Instead, he chose to file a lawsuit in civil court. Why did he take this route? Simple, says the Arab American News. He is seeking monetary damages, not criminal charges. He is suing the district that he claims to love for his own financial gain. To be fair, his gain and his lawyer's gain, since he's also seeking to have the district cover his legal fees. Why does Barry want to take precious financial resources away from the district and the students that he claims to care so much about? As a first step in the effort to repair the damage done by the careless tirades of Hussein Barry, Adele Mozip and their supporters, members of the community, gathered around the table to start a dialogue in a sincere effort to begin the healing process. But just like Trump, Barry couldn't help himself. Instead of being a part of the solution, he sat on the sidelines and criticized the meeting. He tried to inflame his supporters to go for blood by connecting this meeting to his latest campaign for Nofila Hadar and painting her as a victim. While we don't care about people's personal relationships, that's again the Arab American News here. They go on to say the issues were completely separate and he shouldn't use the community and the kids to settle a score. These dedicated and responsible community leaders were attempting to bring level-headed dialogue back to the forefront, but were instead vilified for trying to move forward. It's easy to incite emotions, they conclude, especially on today's social media stage. But true leaders find solutions, not just point out problems. In today's political landscape, it's apparent that the truth, and they use all capital letters, that means it's the one and only, the truth has no place, they say. The voices keep shouting, justice, in quotes. But maybe what they're really just saying is, quote, just us. That's a cute little pun. I like that. I never heard that before. But instead of justice, what they're really saying is just us. So if it isn't good for us, if it isn't right for us, if it's not what we want, then it's no good. And the last sentence from the Arab American News editorial is, eventually the truth always comes out. Now, of course, my feeling is when, though. Sooner rather than later, I certainly hope. I will mention the Arab American News also, as I'm looking through some of their stories here. They do their own, they've done their own interviews with 16 candidates for the Dearborn City Council. And they only asked two questions because they only have so much space, but they did print them all over a two-page spread in the latest edition, the July 1st through 7th edition of the Arab American News. So July 1st is tomorrow. I think you can find the print copy for free around town. But if you're not back until July 5th, I should still find some copies at the Dearborn Administrative Center. And there are other locations, like maybe, probably, the Dearborn Center, too. The Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn. But thank you for doing that. I will focus on some of those answers to those questions at some other time. Ms. Hadar, I believe I mentioned her last week. She is a candidate for, and her name came up as someone that Barry is supporting or trying to help in her campaign, and it's totally maybe a separate issue, but he claims somehow the school board issue is hurting her, perhaps because association with him as a supporter of her. She's running for city clerk in Dearborn, I believe. I'm not looking at it right now. I believe that's true. So thank you, Arab American News, for the opinion and coverage of the event that happened, and also the city council guidelines here. This is the new WHOR Journal. Jay Koronick with you today until 2 o'clock, at 2 o'clock in a half an hour. Kitty Love comes up with Highway 61, the best in the blues. Oh, yeah. Good stuff coming up. And then at 4 o'clock today, Mike Holloway and Highway 61 turns into Go With The Flow show. Also, the best of the blues as chosen by Mike Holloway. So we get a lot of blues going. I should say, of course, once per show, that all opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, or Board of Trustee members. And they didn't tell me what to say or not to say, so thank you very much for that bit of freedom there. Okay. Also, mention the blues. We had a great party this last Sunday down at the historic Hastings Street Ballroom. A lot of great bands, a lot of great concerts have been down there over the years, and they're still going on. The 60s bluesy rock band, Canned Heat, that were a significant feature at Woodstock in 69. Wasn't it 69? I think it was 1969. And they're on the Woodstock album, of course, performing. They're going to be down at Hazy Street Ballroom, sponsored by not us, but the Detroit Blues Society. I think that's later in August. We'll get more information on that. But we had a great party. We had great catering from Smoky Roads Barbecue. Everybody had a great time. Thank you if you got there. If you didn't get there, you missed a great party and you missed a chance to support WHFR. Maybe you'll catch us the next time around. For example, our satellite system is down for Classical 24 again, four times over the last several weeks. I've been, even though I'm not an engineer, I was able with outside phone support to get it working a couple of times. And it's down again, and probably we can't get it fixed for a while, but we are putting on pre-recorded classical music. Maybe you've heard the shows before, but hey, classical music is always good, right? Yeah. So we're trying to get professional tech support, and but there aren't too many people that work on these public radio satellite dish facilities. Big deal. Everybody's into these little teeny dishes they put on all the houses and businesses and so on now. So we're having some difficulty, and of course these things cost. It's usually a minimum of $100 an hour plus travel. Wouldn't you like to be a satellite dish repair person? You probably don't get all that money individually, but I'm just saying. Okay, so moving right along here, and looking at more stories. There's always more stories. Yep. Got a lot of them piled up here. I'm reaching off to the side. Oh my gosh. So many stories. Let's see here. Henry Ford College. Well, you know, we don't do, big stories of Henry Ford College. Well, Henry Ford College told them to say that, but this is great, and it affects the telecommunication area, which also is a part of, the operation of the station. We are actually managed under and through, at least there's a new reorganization, the telecommunication and journalism area now, which is also going to include the speech people. But we just signed an articulation agreement between Henry Ford College and Wayne State University so that the Associate of Arts in Telecommunication does transfer really well into Wayne State's Bachelor of Arts in Film, or if you prefer, a Bachelor of Arts in Media Arts and Studies. They have two different areas there, but ours will help you go either way. You can transfer up to 73 credits if you follow the guidelines, the course layout structured in the plan. And that's a lot of credits. You know, there's, in case you don't know, in a typical four-year, that is bachelor's degree program, you'll have about 120 credit hours that you're required to take. That's about 40 classes, each class averaging 3 credit hours. Some are more, some are less, but so about 40 classes over what's usually thought of as a four-year schedule. But 73 credits, see, that's more than half. Half of 120 is 60. So it means you're already halfway or a little bit of the way, about halfway into your junior year in terms of credits. And so you have another 47 credits to go, or so, depending on your program and certain course requirements. It might be a couple hours more down at Wayne State University. And do they have a good program in telecommunication in either film or the media arts and studies program? Absolutely. Of course, I'm a little biased because I got my master's degree in that area down there. When I got it, it was speech communication with a specialization in radio, TV, film. They keep changing the name, but it was, you know, the same thing. My two colleagues here at Henry Ford College with WHFR, Susan McGraw, she has her bachelor's from Wayne State as well as her master's degree. And Laura Rousset has her doctorate now from that program at Wayne State University. She's our operations manager here at WHFR. And in fact, it was Susan McGraw, who is also full-time here at Henry Ford College, the academic coordinator of telecommunication and journalism, who helped to sign the agreement along with our president here and a couple VPs and several people from Wayne State. And so that's totally in place now. That actually happened, June 8th. But it took them 20 days to get a press release out on it. So I'm just reading from the press release. But congratulations to everybody and to everybody considering a telecommunication degree. We have a program that's extremely good and very transferable, and now totally transferable to Wayne State if you follow the guidelines. Nice to know, huh? I would just say, and as another note, the media business is very competitive. You got to be good. It's not an automatic job. You've got to have all kinds of, you have to have internship experience, and you have to have a wide range of knowledge backgrounds. You have to know computers real well and programming to a certain extent, maybe even networking issues. And these programs help you with that. But I'm just saying it's challenging, but it's exciting, and because it's always changing too. We need the best people to go in these areas. And within those areas is also broadcast journalism. Yeah. Yeah. No, not fake news. Real news. We need people to know the difference and work for the truth, all capital letters, no matter what. By the way, on the Ford issue, I just thumbed around the issue here, moving the Focus production to China. Again, Ford did say, and I don't think I made this clear, that they're not taking any jobs away from this area. They're going to move production in Wayne to pickups, bigger cars that make more profit, so they can pay more money to the workers because they make more profits on the cost of the car, because the cars cost more. So you can't fault them for that, okay? Because they're not taking jobs away from the U.S. Well, they could have given us more jobs, but they decided not to. Okay. I mean, I drive a Ford Edge, and this is not a plug, but I think I told you this before on the air when I got it last year. I asked the dealer, I said, where is this made? Just wondering. And I said, I see on the sticker, it says Oakville. And I say, oh, that's in Illinois. No, it's in Ontario, Canada. It's just outside of Toronto. I drove past there last year, and it's a big Ford plant. And of course, I think even the Chrysler minivan, the Pacifica, is made in Windsor, isn't it? They were making the minivans there. So, Ford has made and continues to make plenty of cars outside this country that are brought back in. That is the nature of the business world today. It's a world market. And if some countries, if you can come into some countries and make your product there and save a ton of money, that's what the companies will do. That's what they'll do. And I don't see, it's just not feasible for Donald Trump that he was mumbling, we're going to charge, 30% surcharge tax on every car coming in from overseas? And that's, for all kinds of economic reasons, that won't happen. 30%. Think about it. Yeah. Was it 40%? I don't know. It was some number, and all economists say that it's just crazy. I mean, it goes beyond understanding of the realities of international business. So not a good proposal, not an answer here, and I'm not suggesting one. Other than buying whatever car you want, if you have to buy a car, you know, try to make a good choice for yourself. Okay, you got the City of Dearborn newsletter. That was from June 28th, 2 days ago. So that's on their website at cityofdearborn.org. And, of course, they have the complete list of all of those rules and regulations about fireworks. Those candidate forums, should get into that now with only 15 minutes to go. It's about time, huh? Will be online starting July 1st. Okay, the mayoral forum is already there, apparently. There's a CDTV broadcast schedule. So if you have a cable system in Dearborn that has City of Dearborn television, there's a whole bunch of different times. So you can check on the cityofdearborn.org website about that. But the direct link, which you can get from the City of Dearborn website, cityofdearborn.org, there's another place you could go directly. I won't even mention it because it'll just confuse you. So definitely watch those forums. There's a city council forum, there's a city clerk forum, and there's a mayoral forum. Okay? And before you vote on August 8th in the primary to help narrow down the field of candidates, you should, at the very least, watch this on television if you're a resident of Dearborn. Also, there is a League of Women Voters guide for all areas of Michigan. Vote411.org. If you go there and put in your address, your zip code, you can get a list of exactly the candidates that are on the ballot. Plus, the League of Women Voters have gotten questions answered. I think it's three questions by each of the candidates, all the same questions. And so it gives you a little teeny thumbnail of where they stand on some issues. It's not everything. But at least with the videos, you can see the whites of their eyes. But don't shoot them. Okay. But sometimes you can tell from their attitude, from the way they look. And appearances are deceiving. Surface is not everything. There's just too many candidates to get any of them fairly represented here on the new WHFR Journal before August 8th. There are 16 candidates for city council. There's four candidates for city clerk and four candidates for mayor in Dearborn alone. So I've got to recommend you go to League of Women Voters, vote411.org, and go to, in Dearborn Heights, they supposedly have a Facebook page that will have their city council and mayoral candidate forums, which I didn't attend. Sorry about that out there, folks. But they'll have that on their Facebook page, perhaps soon. I'm surprised that Dearborn is taking as long as they are, but July 1st is tomorrow, so I guess they're finishing it up today to get it available before the holidays. Big time next week in Dearborn, and a lot of you know about it because they sent notices to every house. Weekly recycling, that is the recycle bin, the green bin, start Monday, July 3rd, if that's your pickup day. And get this, all kinds of home trash, like furniture and appliances. Yes, refrigerators, stoves. You just put them out by the curb and the city will pick it up for free. I can only imagine those people that understand the new rules are going to have so much stuff from their house that they were afraid to put out before because it would cost them money for the city to come and pick it up and take it away. Now, there are some things like hazardous waste and so on they won't pick up. If you want more information, check cityofdearborn.org and call the appropriate department. I think they want you to call the trash people, the people that have the contract for regular trash and so on. But you don't have to wait every 2 weeks to put out your green recycling bin. You can do that every week now if you have that much. They'll pick it up every week. And this contract is costing the city less than the one they had before. and it allows all this extra stuff. So I can only imagine. I hope they're going to have a lot of people working on July 3rd, because that first day, for those of us that have trash pickup on Monday, like I do, oh my gosh, it's going to be a lot of stuff out there. They're going to be working several days, because they're not going to work on the 4th. Everything is a day later, so that's going to be absolutely amazing. Oh, and we have to tell you about, I should wait for the end for this, but the... Homecoming. Who's going to be the big act on Saturday night? The free music performance on Saturday night. Well, this is the big news, right? This is the only one that counts. This is the one that everybody is interested in. And I can't find it. Okay. Well, keep you in suspense. Okay, well, I guess now we look at what happened at the meeting. Oh, here it is. Music of Styx to headline Homecoming. Dennis DeYoung and Music of Styx. STYX. Big rock band from the 70s to 1999. Saturday night, August 5th, Dearborn Homecoming. No charge. Fireworks afterwards. Okay. All right. No choice here now. So. Going to talk about the meeting. The Dearborn City Council candidates. Okay. I've got notes too, but I thought they did such a good story. All but one of the Dearborn City Council candidates tackled questions during a League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights Forum, June 21st. June 21st, four incumbents, Robert Abraham, Susan DeBaggia, Brian O'Donnell and Michael Serini, along with Ziad Abdulmalik, substitute teacher Nada Al Hanouti, ICU nurse Fairuz Bazzi, League of the Democratic Engagement in American Reads at the University of Michigan, Aaron Burns, registered nurse Sharon Domage, business owner Regan Ford, nonprofit director Sean Green, business consultant Rafat Hasham, Wayne County Sheriff Reserves Electrical Engineer and Commander Ramez Hadar, Dearborn Public Schools Communications Specialist Leslie Herrick, and retired Dearborn Police Command Officer Kenneth Paris answered questions. Councilman David Bazzi was the only one of 16 candidates who did not appear at the Dearborn Administrative Center because of his passing of his mother the day before. Each candidate made an opening statement, closing statement, and answered multiple questions. A total of 10 questions were asked to the candidates in groups. When asked about what they would do to clean up the slum landlords, and again, the candidates did not all answer the same questions. Anyway, slum landlord housing and out-of-state homeowners who are not maintaining their property, DeBaggia emphasized enforcement. We have to hold people accountable, she said, so enforcement is key because we have to have, we already have a program in place for renters in the city. Unquote. Addressing a question on what lessons Dearborn should learn from former Mayor Orville Hubbard's history and what should be done with the statue. By the way, almost everybody concluded who answered this question, there were five of them, the statue should go inside the Dearborn Historical Museum. I've said this for ever since the statue was first moved. That's a totally correct place with the right exhibit and the right materials. Not standing outside waving or wishing farewell. I don't know, is he waving goodbye or hello? You wonder. And no explanation of his history. I mean, he deserves to be remembered and studied for exactly what he was, the full spectrum, good and bad, And only that can be done inside the right kind of exhibit in a museum. And I don't think Greenfield Village Henry Ford Museum wants it. So we need to find a place. I think one of the problems I pointed out was it's going to have to be a pretty good exhibit size. And our historical museum is not that big. Also, the statue is 10 feet high. And of course, they're in an older building, so I think it's got a high ceiling. But that's going to take a while. It's going to cost them some money to build and construct, to plan to build and construct an exhibit space indoors. But who told them to put it outside? It's just temporary or what? I don't. Anyway, so all the candidates pretty much agreed on that. And continuing here, trying to finish up on that forum. And again, just a few people were talking about this because they didn't ask the same questions to all the people because they couldn't. They had 15 people there. Okay. Okay, here we are. Turning the pages on the air as only this news show can do. O'Donnell and Paris addressed a question which asked them to define transparency for members of the council. And as an incumbent, O'Donnell said they're already transparent by making, although I could see him, I don't know, okay, bad joke, by making all information available to the public online and making themselves available to residents through the council office. Paris suggested to make the city's website easier to navigate and find information, especially via quick links, because not everyone has the skills to search for what they need. Asked how candidates view the current status of the police in the community, Al Nudi brought up the progress the city has made from 2014, when it was named a dangerous city, to last year when it was named one of the safest cities in the state. Bozzi says she wants to see stricter rules for public safety and see more outreach with teenagers and youth. Candidates were then asked to answer how they would help everyone in Dearborn, and not just interest groups as a council member. Green said he would give everyone in the city a voice and represent them equally in the race, as one race, the human race. And so everybody said that, pretty much. Serini Abraham and Abdul Malik responded to the drug epidemic. It's engulfed the youth and what they plan to do to address it. They said they get all the calls all the time. And yes, there's a lot of drug-related crime and problems, but let's not forget the adult drug problems. Not just the youth. They never talked about, oh, adults, we never have problems with drugs. Really? All the crimes that are done by adults that are drug-related? Not necessarily all felonies. But, you know, one thing they didn't mention, I think one person mentioned it just in passing, we need to set up again and fund, by the city if necessary, maybe we can get a grant from somewhere, a drug court within our 19th District Court. That was working. That was helpful, and nobody talked about that. But we had it, and we didn't have money for it, so. But it was working, and it was good. So that didn't just punish offenders of drug-related crimes or drug-related issues. It also got help for them and monitored them and kept them on the right track. And so nobody talked about that, of course. And so public safety, oh, yeah, support our police and firemen and blah, blah, blah. All of them said that. And it was just interesting. One person who watched the video, he was from the South. He said, I proudly say I didn't grow up in Dearborn. And he was a very interesting guy. I'd never seen him before. I don't get out much, but I thought he was very interesting and spoke very articulately. At one point he said, since got into this political campaign, I've never brushed my hair so much, never done my hair as much. This is a guy talking about that. And okay, he had good hair. What can I say? He did have nice combed hair. And a couple of other people seemed very interesting. Oh, and I was happy to see that four of these 14 candidates are relatively young, like in their early 20s. This could be like a first job for them. They couldn't talk much about experience because they really haven't had it yet. I think all of them, all the younger people, had at least master's degrees. So fresh out of college, maybe new ideas, new information. Is that worth a try? Is it bad to have somebody with no direct political experience, or is it good? You got to see the videos, people. Please, please. Very important. Let's see, what else? Anything else to finish up here? Fourth of July stuff, of course. Pretty much all businesses will be closed, certainly on Tuesday, but also on Monday, too. Although there will be trash pickup on Monday. Yes, there will. Oh, my goodness. You don't want to. And remember, it's a lot more than just regular trash. You can do your recycling and, oh, my gosh. What a great thing. Let's see here.
No plastic bags anymore.
Right. Right. No plastic bags. Right. Well, no, you got to use bins, but in the trash bins, I think you have to have plastic bags. You
no,
don't.
With the
you read
new,
that?
We have
Kitty
a new,
Love knows.
Yeah. A new corporate.
Right. Yes, I've talked about that.
They aren't going to do plastic bags
within the regular trash bin.
Right.
Okay. Right. Before it had to be that everything in that big gray bin had to be in a bag. That didn't make sense to me. I know, but they didn't stop me. I tossed a few things like an old bookshelf and other things that fit in the bin. I just tossed it in. I said, oh, what's the point of bagging it? It all goes into the truck, you know, and if they want to move it after it's dumped, they can just pick it up, you know. I mean, it's easy to grab. Well, anyway. Okay, good. Thank you, Kitty Love. Oh, she's so excited to start her show in about 1 minute. Oh, my gosh. So I think I'm just going to wish everyone a great 4th of July weekend, and take care out there. This is WHFR Dearborn. Be careful with your driving. People are going different places than they ever have before, and maybe they haven't actually taken the car out for a while. So watch everybody, but try to have fun and enjoy your time. We're going to be here on WHFR all the way through, and we'll be back again next Friday with you on the new WHFR Journal. So take care, and catch you next time. Clarksdale, south of Memphis, Tennessee.